You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And welcome back. We have made it to the second hour. Glad you're with us on this holiday. We are here until 7 Eastern time, and we're delighted to welcome Shahan Jayaraja to the program. Interesting piece out today about quarterback rooms in college football. Who's got the best one? Alabama. Probably no surprise based on one player, but some of the other ones are interesting. More of a cumulative effort than anything else. Shahan, thanks for joining us. Always good to have you on the program. Good afternoon, and take us through the process on this piece.
Yeah, well, thanks as always for having me. You mentioned it a little bit, but the biggest thing that I wanted to emphasize in the lead up to this piece, right, is that this is about quarterback rooms. It's not about the best players. Obviously, I think at number one with Alabama, we didn't get the best player at number one. But depth matters. You know, having a great quarterback and having nothing behind him doesn't mean as much to me as having a couple of great guys in the room where if somebody gets hurt, then you feel good about it. So I think for me, it was a little bit of a surprise when you looked at some of the top teams in the country to see, you know, with the way that the portal has gone, to see the way that college football has gone from a recruiting perspective, and realize that it's very hard to keep multiple blue chip quarterbacks in the room at this point. And so for me, it was sort of looking and saying, who do I feel like has some guys waiting in the wings, whether they're top recruits, whether they're guys who have played before, have some experience. And again, you know, once you kind of get to the real top five of it, it becomes pretty difficult.
Yeah. Certainly Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan. I want to talk about Georgia for a second because that, I mean, you would think this is obvious, but some people aren't so sure. We know what Stetson Bennett is capable of. We've seen it. We know there are a bevy of blue chippers behind it. Let's talk about that first.
Sure. I think that during the run to the national championship game, it's become easy to rag on Stetson Bennett and what he did last year and the struggles that he had at times. But when you look at the end of the year and you look at his ranks among SEC quarterbacks, he was really good for them. He was especially good from a pass perspective. You know, he averaged nearly 10 yards per pass. Now, granted, a lot of those were off of play actions and things like that. And you can't make a comparison between somebody like Stetson Bennett and Bryce Young and what they're asked to do for that offense. But Stetson Bennett did his job at a really high level. And I think that that if they don't have the quality of quarterback play that Stetson Bennett brought in the national title game, I don't think they win that game. So he deserves a little bit more respect than I think he gets. And when you look behind him in that room, you got some really good players coming down the pipe. Brock Vandergriff is a former five-star player. Carson Beck was somebody who definitely competed for that job last year. They've got a five-star freshman coming in too. So, you know, they've got some talent in that room. The one thing they don't have outside of Bennett is experience. But I think that there's enough guys in that room and enough depth and enough quality pieces that if Stetson Bennett were to go down for whatever reason, you have to feel pretty good that that Todd Monken and that group would be able to find another quarterback to step up.
And LSU, I think sometimes people forget. They know what's coming in. They forget what's already there and a lot of experience, especially in Brennan. Give us the lowdown on the Tigers.
No question. And obviously bringing in Jaden Daniels as a transfer from Arizona State, that's somebody who's played 3 years in college football and been pretty good, and a former high four-star recruit as well. So they also have two young guys that I think you have to feel pretty good about. Walker Howard, a kid from Louisiana coming in as a freshman, five-star kid, really kind of seen as the next in line in a lot of ways. But Garrett Nussmeier, also, you know, the son of obviously Doug Nussmeier, showed some stuff last season. We've heard that the staff is really excited about him. And I know that You know, things go a little bit differently last year. You know, maybe he gets to play a little bit more, too. So even though they lost Max Johnson, who played most of their games last season, I think they have four guys who they think maybe could be real contributors for this team. Now, we don't know who's going to start at quarterback for them right then. Like you said, Miles Brennan probably in the driver's seat because he's entering his sixth year with the program. But I think that the fact that this quarterback competition is open right now is actually a pretty good sign about what they feel like they have behind him.
I want to ask you about A&M, because that seems to be the missing link right now. We know they have a great team. We know they're recruiting, but there's still mystery about the quarterback position. What do you see?
Yeah, I think that with A&M, you know, last season they really went into the year with basically, you know, in some ways, 1.5 scholarship quarterbacks, right? Zach Calzada did not look ready to be playing in this kind of system. And when Haynes King went down, who, by the way, Haynes King is by no means a proven commodity either. When he went down, they really, really struggled. And they expected to have Eli Stowers as a freshman kid come in. He had dealt with some injuries, got moved to tight end. But this year, I think they've done a great job of trying to solidify that position group. They brought in Max Johnson, like I mentioned, from LSU, who's played a lot of SEC games. And while we don't know if he has a higher ceiling than what he showed, I think that we know that his floor is going to be much, much higher than what Zach Calzada gave them last season. And they brought in the number two quarterback recruit in the entire country, in Connor Wegman. So they have three guys who, again, I think that you could go to war with, who I think have a chance to be really good. I expect Max Johnson, with his experience, to probably win that starting job, but having a guy who's been in the system and Haynes King, having a pure talent like Connor Wegman, and having a guy with so much experience like Max Johnson just gives them, I think, a really diversified quarterback room that I think has a chance to maybe end some of those questions about the position that they've had the past couple of years.
Sean, before you go, just some thoughts overall on A&M, since you're talking about them, because they are, I mean, you look at some of the preseason polls, and they are top five, top six, certainly top 10, but there's still this uneasiness about them because of last year when most reasonable people thought they dodged a sure loss against Wake Forest in the bowl game. You know, where would this conversation be had they been slaughtered in a bowl game? You know, we all know that game was canceled. So it's obviously the quarterback position, but beyond that, do you feel pretty comfortable about this team being able at least to be in contention?
Well, I made this comparison on another show last week. You know, I look at Georgia, right? Year two under Kirby Smart, they're playing in the national championship game. And from that moment on, they're kind of that program, right? They don't get to title caliber until year five or six, but they do get into that conversation. They make New Year's Six bowls. They're in competition to win their division and win the SEC every single year. And from my perspective, I felt like we were getting there in 2020 when Texas A&M finishes second in the SEC West, which, again, they have Alabama in their division. I don't fight them for that. They go and win the Orange Bowl. But to follow it up with what happened last year, not just losing a couple of games, but losing the way that they did against a team like LSU to close the year, that's very disappointing to me. And so from my perspective, I look at what Texas A&M has. They've got 3 or 4 years of elite recruiting classes. They've done a great job of retaining staff. They've recruited, again, like I mentioned, at a high level. They've developed at a really high level. They've sent a bunch of players to the NFL. This is the moment, in my opinion, where they need to become Georgia. They don't have to become Alabama. That's a crazy bar that nobody else in college football has ever really reached. But they need to become that team that's basically making a New Year's Six game every year. They're winning 10 games every year. That should be expectations with what Texas A&M has been able to do off the field under Jimbo Fisher. And I think that there's context for why that didn't happen last season, why they did finish 8-4, why things didn't work out the way that maybe we hoped. But I think that going into next year, you know, Jimbo Fisher's restocked his quarterback room. Obviously, that defensive line class is maybe the greatest ever. It has to happen now. This is the moment where I think that Texas A&M needs to be judged on results and results only.
What a great conversation. Shehan Jayaraja, thank you very, very much. Always good to have you on. Come back soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Great to talk to him. And let's take a break. We have plenty of time for you to get in. We still have one or two more guests on this Monday. Phone number is 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Trey is in Arkansas. Hello, Trey.
Howdy. How are you doing today, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
All right. I was wanting to know what Arkansas's pot is, and I was going to weigh in. Anyways, I was going to weigh in on your best college atmosphere. I'd have to say Arkansas whenever it's rocking like it was in Texas.
Yeah,
where we're beating them.
I was there that weekend. That was quite an event. I agree with you. Well, listen, I think sometimes it's like anything else. It's your preference. An Arkansas fan is probably going to enjoy Fayetteville more than an A&M fan. But thank you for the call. You take care of yourself. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How you guys doing?
We are well. Thank you.
For taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I have, absolutely, I have 15 people on my list. They're my hit list. I'm going to read them off. Lance and Jasper, Daryl, Jerome, Rat Dog, Larry and Shelby, Augie, Linda, Faye, Miss Phyllis, Charles and Real Puff, William, your boy toy, Mr. Lawyer, John in Louisville, K-Dub, Greg in Athens, and Jimmy in Chicago. My sledgehammer is dying to see you. I'm waiting. Who wants to accept the competition? I could fly you in and out, but guess what? You're not going to make it. You're not going to go home. I don't want to say the word, but you're not going to go home because my sledgehammer loves you. I have my hockey sticks. They love you. I have my leather strap loves you. I have my shovel. They love you. The tribal chief is waiting for the competition. Who wants to accept the competition? I'm calling everybody out. But, Mr. Feinbaum, I am not going to call you out because I like you, I respect you, and I love me some background cheerleaders. How come they're not cheerleading right now? I love them. Whoever out there waiting, and Joe from Red Bay, party's over, Grandpa.
Hope you're enjoying our home edition of Dragon and Dungeons here. Whoa, that was heavy. Thanks, AC. It was subterranean, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Quick, call the FBI.
I think when they hear calls like that, they are already monitoring it. I mean, there were enough code words where I think the FBI, the CIA, the DIA, the Border Patrol, I think there were a lot of folks in tune with that call.
Please. He sounds like a pro wrestler when he calls or something. I don't know.
I don't know. This guy, can you imagine watching WrestleMania with him?
He's always jacked up every time he calls.
Yeah. Well,
but the Feinbaum
by the way, it wouldn't be a bad idea for the New Jersey State Police to check this guy's basement out. you might solve a lot of mysteries right there.
Ah, gosh. All right. I'm headed out on vacation tomorrow. I'm going to go to the Braves and Dodgers series at the end of the week.
Oh, wow.
And
that's a good one.
I hope it ain't 100 degrees like it's been up here the past week or so. But anyway, I can take it. Yeah, well, where's the good places to eat at, Paul? Because you are the connoisseur of
you're asking me as a visitor to Atlanta, but I've got an Atlanta native in my ear. Jamari, where should we send him now? Where are you going to be in Atlanta, Will, before we start sending you, because it's a big city?
Last time I stayed at like Marriott that was like right across from Georgia Tech, but I mean, don't tell me the Varsity, because I mean, I've ate there and I'm not going on vacation for hot dogs and hamburgers.
you like hamburgers?
I mean, yeah, they're all right, but I mean, I want something more than the Varsity while I'm down there.
Okay. I have eaten at quite a few places in Buckhead.
Mm-hmm.
What's that place? What's the famous? Is it Bones? Is that right, Jamari? Yeah, I've eaten at Bones. It's off of Piedmont. It's got steaks and seafood, kind of a South City kitchen. We're just kind of going over. You're not far. I mean, Buckhead is probably the best place to go for restaurants, isn't it?
That's the glitzy part of the town, I know.
Yeah, well, of course. I've eaten at the Varsity, let me assure you. Downtown, I don't want to insult Atlanta, but I've never found a lot downtown in Atlanta.
Right. That's usually where I camp out, but yeah. I Uber everywhere.
I mean, every time we go to Atlanta to cover the SEC game or the opening game, we're always in downtown Atlanta, but I'm sure there's good places there, but any particular type of food you like, and maybe we can get some suggestions here on the show.
I like steaks.
Steaks. I've eaten at Bones a couple of times. I think that's the name of the place, isn't it, Jamari? Yeah, I've eaten there at least two or three times. Let me assure you. Let me tell you one thing about Bones, though, that's I've always liked. I don't think I've ever paid. I think it's fantastic. I've usually gone with to functions there. I tell you, when are you leaving, Will?
Tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to Cherokee first, and my friend's a big poker player, and he goes for tournaments up there, so he knows the ins and outs. But he does a lot of sports betting, and we're leaving tomorrow night, and then we're going to stay two nights at Cherokee, and then we're going to make the Friday night and Saturday night Dodgers game. I don't know if we're going to stay for the Sunday night Dodgers game, but.
I'll tell you what we're going to do now. If you like steaks, I've given you. I'm not giving you any
Bones.
Of the new. Are you going to be watching for the next few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will get some suggestions, because I would never trust my advice when it comes to restaurants.
Ask him if he's ate at Fox Brothers Barbecue.
Yes, that's Jamari says that's very good.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah. How's the College Football Hall of Fame? I know you've had a show.
Yeah, I mean,
there.
The College Football Hall of Fame is great, but the only restaurant that I know. Oh, hold on. I'm thinking. There's a Chick-fil-A inside the College Football Hall of Fame. I do know that.
Oh, man.
Within walking distance of the Hall of Fame, there is a Ruth's Chris, isn't there, Jamari? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I've eaten at that one a couple of times because it's convenient. Those are probably. There's a couple of restaurants down there. But I am, again, maybe it's just an aversion, but I've always found the better restaurants are not in downtown Atlanta. But we will get you some suggestions. And by the way, when you get there, just put, we'll give you a couple of, we'll give you a couple of names to put on the tab. Just the same guy. Yeah. I've had some great meals in Atlanta. Bill is up next. Hey, Bill, go right ahead. Bill?
Yes.
Well, good afternoon.
Hey, man, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Enjoying the show. Listen, I've been thinking about this NIL stuff.
Yes.
And I've got a suggestion I want to throw out to you and see what you think. I think it would even up a lot of this. He bought this one, he bought that one, or whatever. the national average income for a young man or young person between the ages of 20 and 24 years of age is $2,075 a month. Could we not put a figure like that on the NIL, you know, in addition to the scholarships that these players and what all are getting? Don't you think that would be fair?
It would be fair if you could get away with it. And right now, not to give you a primer about something that I'm moderately familiar with, but NIL is dictated by state law in most places.
Yeah.
And there are some issues there. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine today that said several state legislatures are going to have to go back and tweak because there's a danger there of making these guys employees, and you have to be careful about that. But most of the state laws, or all the state laws that I'm aware of, do not have they don't have any restrictions. So therefore, you can't suddenly tell a player you can only make this. It's a good suggestion, though. Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. More to come. More of your phone calls. Oh, by the way, there's a restaurant suggestion. Let me get that quickly. Kelvin, go right ahead.
Yeah, I got a suggestion for him to eat in downtown Atlanta.
Okay, sure.
Oh, Crabman 305 Atlanta. He's from Miami, and he cooks seafood.
I like the sound of that.
He has the best food in the city.
Now, give me that one again, because I'll be downtown here in about a month. What's the name of it?
Crabman 305.
Crabman 305. It's in downtown Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Okay.
Downtown Atlanta.
Okay. Well, we will be there for a week, so I'll check it out. Kelvin, thanks for the suggestion. What do you think, Rand? You like seafood? You like seafood?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, we're in. Two for dinner tonight. We are coming right back. I didn't mean to stop the music, but I wanted to make sure we've got our friend a restaurant suggestion. I think the Varsity was good, though.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So the question about the best atmosphere in college football, and the answer is pretty obvious. The Feinbaum Show on a Monday afternoon. We are back and taking your phone calls right here. A lot of crazy stuff going on here. Mike is up next. Good afternoon, Mike.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I want to talk about Arch Manning. And I'm not against this kid, but it's going to sound like it. But I'm going to say what I want to say anyway. To me, the name Manning has always been a rival to the University of Alabama. I mean, I've been around a long time. I watched his daddy's daddy play against Alabama. And it just don't... For some reason, it just doesn't sit well with me, a Manning name being on an Alabama jersey.
Well, you know what?
Am I insane? Or
sadly, Nick Saban is really not concerned what you think about that.
Well, I know he's not, but you know, and by the way,
it wasn't his daddy. It was his daddy did not play much college.
Archie Manning's.
Well, I know exactly Peyton Manning's father. You're talking about someone. You're talking about his grandfather.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. His daddy's daddy is what I said,
yeah,
Paul. I know what I said.
Okay, well, I know what you said, too, and I really thank you. But nobody really cares whether you think he should have an Alabama jersey on. A lot of Alabama people would like to see him wearing a tie. Johnny is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Johnny.
Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm 68 years old, been in Atlanta all my life, and there's a steakhouse over in my old stomping grounds where I grew up on Croc Street. It's called Kevin Rathburn Steakhouse. It's right there between a little place called Cabbage Town and Reynolds Town.
I like the sound of that.
It's not near as pricey as Bones, you know, but listen, this place is unbelievable. The food is great. The service is great. And I tell you what, Paul, when you come to Atlanta for that week, when I get off this call, give you my name and number, or I can get yours, I'll take you there myself and buy you a damn steak, brother.
Well, that would be, talk about a free meal. You're talking to the right place here. You don't mind if I bring the whole crowd, do you?
You know what? Hey, I may have to up my credit card limit a little bit, but I can take care of that.
By the way, if you bring us, we're picking it up because we get to charge our bosses.
That's good, too.
Hey, tell me this. I'm trying to remember the name, and it's been 35 or 40 years. There's this famous bar. I don't think it's still in existence. Kind of a bar dive restaurant. If you're downtown Atlanta, it would be away from downtown, but not toward. Buckhead would be north. Would Buckhead be north? This might be east.
Yes.
Okay.
East.
Yeah. I mean, this place was like the most famous. It's where all the politicians and all the newspaper people. I cannot remember the name of it, but it was...
It was either Harold's Barbecue...
No.
Or it may have been the burger place downtown, Manuel's Tavern.
Manuel's does sound right. We're talking really old,
Manuel's,
right?
Yes, I'm talking about back in the old Herman Talmadge days.
Yeah,
okay?
I mean, when I went to this place, it looked like it should have been condemned. I think it may have been. Okay, I tell you what. Let me put you on hold. We'll get your number, and if we're over there, we'll give you a call. How about that? Thank you very much. It may be. I wonder. Was it Manuel's? It's a famous place. I mean, this old. I remember. I think it closed a couple of years ago, and I remember the bartender. The guy had been there 45. Whatever. It's one of these that politicians would show up. Manuel sounds almost right. I'm just not positive. Let's continue with more phone calls. Johnny is in College Station. Hey, Johnny.
Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm 96 years old, and I want you to know there is not a prejudiced bone in my body, but my son has Christopher's World Grill and one of the finest restaurants in the state of Texas in Bryan College Station.
Okay, Christopher's Grill?
Christopher's World Grill.
Well, I tell you what, the last time we were there, we stayed at this brand new hotel in Bryan. I can't remember the name of it, but it was nice. So it couldn't be too far, knowing. So I wish I'd known. I will check it out the next time I'm in College Station.
Well, I appreciate it. He doesn't one thing about it. He doesn't charge me to eat, but I tell people, I can't afford the tip.
Well, you tell him. Can you get us in if we need to?
I would do my best. I got a little influence.
Okay. Well, I would imagine you do. So Christopher's World Grill and Brian. Johnny,
Brian,
you take care of yourself. And next time I'm out there, which I'm hoping is in a couple of months. Maybe they're sooner. We'll get over there. Hey, thank you very much. Christopher's World Grill. Sounds good. I tell you what, Randy, my goal is not to pay for another meal the rest of the year, and I think we're well on our way. Be in Arkansas in a couple weeks, too. Maybe we can get a meal out there. Bruce is up next in Hot Springs. Hey, Bruce. Bruce, you there?
Signal. Just hey. Wondering what – really weak signal. Just wondering, are we going to pods or divisions when Oklahoma and Texas get here?
I believe it will be pods, Bruce.
Okay. That was my question. Enjoy your show, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Not, thank you.
No, not at all. Sam is up next in Georgia. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Listen, we are doing great.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
So here you go. You want a good steak? We got besides bones, we got chops.
Chops.
It used to be a great steak.
That's the one.
It used to be a great. Used to be a really good steakhouse called Pilgrim. It's gone now. Petey Pat's Porch is probably what you're talking about downtown.
Okay.
It used to really be a great place. Also, the Red Door over by the Mercedes-Benz, great place too. Great cigar bar, great steaks, great food.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned. I think Chops is the place I've eaten more than Bones.
Great food.
Yeah, no, I have. I'm pretty sure Chops is the one. Bones is just a name. But I think Chops is definitely the one I've been to a couple of times.
Fried lobster is the best there is.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure.
And their seafood tower, but steaks are the best.
Well, you're right. I'll keep working on that. That bar, because it was a dive bar. My newspaper friends over there would take me. So newspaper guys are like cops. They're always going to the off-beaten places. Let's take a short break here. We have a lot to do. I don't know how we got, I do know how we got into this, but why not? Between bars and atmospheres, it's a holiday. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Henry. Is up next. Henry is in Fayetteville. Hello, Henry.
Hey, Paul. Hope you're doing well.
We are. Thank you.
How's Auburn? How's Auburn doing up there, Paul? What's the score?
Auburn is leading 6-2 right now.
All right. There's a big one tonight on the big stage.
There sure
rivals.
Is. Can't wait.
Mississippi and Arkansas. Oh, man. It's going to be Smack Talk City up there. Huh?
Seems like they played before.
Yeah, well, this is a series this year. I believe Arkansas took 2 out of 3. Paul, I was going to ask you, if you're ever in Fayetteville and you want to go meatless, check out Tacos for Life and order a seared tofu taco.
Now, I've eaten at a couple of places. Fayetteville, I ate at one place that seemed like it was the place to go the night before a game, and I cannot remember the name. It's a famous place. And I remember having something other. I remember having an omelet there, of all things. I cannot remember. It was more of a steak place, though. Everybody, barbecue steak. It had like the first name of a proper name in the in the restaurant title. Do you have any? I guess I'm making it difficult for you to guess. I cannot remember, but that's me. I don't know why.
Well, the guy
said,
I'll
make you, he said, you don't eat steak, do you? I said, well, I eat a little bit. He said, I'll make you an omelet. I said, whatever.
Oh, a veggie omelet, I think.
I don't even know. I mean, I don't think I've ever had an omelet for dinner on a Friday night. It was.
Well, these tofu tacos, they load them up with fresh cabbage, tomatoes, and avocados, and cilantro sauce, and green onions.
This is Tacos for Life?
Yeah. Great thing about tofu, you know, tofu tacos is about an hour later, you can actually feel that tofu massaging your prostate. It takes the 1972 hit by Poco, A Good Feeling to Know, to a different level.
Ooh, 72 was a good year for Poco. Was that, no, that wasn't Heart of the Night, was it? That was later, wasn't it?
Nah, Heart of the Night was later on, about 79.
Now, 72, I know Deep Purple had a big hit.
That would be
Smoke on the Water, yeah.
No? Yeah, okay.
I think it was.
Paul, did you ever meet Molly Ivins?
No, but I had always wanted to. She was, for those who don't know what we're talking about, Molly Ivins was like, she was from Texas, I think in Austin. And she was one of the most intriguing journalists of her era.
And a favorite among conservatives.
Yeah, I really never, she just was a tell it like it is before that became fashionable.
I was reading her this weekend. I thought about one of your frequent callers, sometimes very frequent callers, and I went, could that be one of his
Hey, by the way, the name of the restaurant is Herman's.
Herman's?
Yeah, I do remember
that
now.
That's a staple in Fayetteville, yeah.
I have no idea. If I go back to Herman's, I'm not – I mean, the Amo was fine. This time I want to get the house special. But, yeah, back to Molly Ivins.
Molly Ivins, yeah. A young graduate student there at UT in Austin told her that, you know, she really liked to get to know men well before she went out with them. And Molly says, well, I can understand that. Women, they're afraid of men because, you know, they're afraid of assault and rape. And she said, and men, they're afraid of women because they're afraid of being laughed at.
Ooh, I never knew that.
Well, that's according to Molly Ivins.
I always thought they were laughing at me, with me. I didn't realize they were laughing at me.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. That's a name you have not heard in a long time, Molly Ivins. That's the great part about this program. You hear names that you never hear again. Pat is in Georgia. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. Listen, I think you're thinking about Manuel's Tavern.
That's exactly right. You nailed it.
And I've eaten there, but it was decades ago. It was owned by Manuel Maloof, who was at one time mayor of the city of Atlanta.
Okay, it was a political bar, was it not?
It was.
Right.
And I can't for the life of me remember the neighborhood that it was in, and my wife's taking a nap. I will not wake her up.
I tell you where I can tell you where it is because I was curious. It's on where is it? It's on North Highland Avenue, Northeast.
Absolutely, Highland Avenue is what I couldn't figure out, and it's not downtown. No, it's not. I don't know that it's still in existence. Maybe it is.
I remember. I cannot remember when it was because it could have been 15 or 20 years ago. That guy either retired, died, or sold the bar. I remember somebody had a big story on it.
No, absolutely. There's two other things I wanted to ask you. Where do you like to eat when you're in Athens?
The last time I was in Athens. Well, the last time I was in Athens, I didn't. I guess it was last year. I didn't go very far. But a couple of years ago, I went to a great place downtown. The reason I remembered it is because I saw President Moorhead there, and we just got through talking to him. And I can't remember the name of the place, but it was fabulous. May have been Italian.
The Palmas.
I mean, at this point, I'd hate to say yes or no.
Okay. Well,
I was with a friend. We were tried to get in someplace. Yeah, I don't remember. I've eaten at a couple of places there, obviously, including the Varsity, by the way.
I wanted to bring something up. I had a nice Father's Day yesterday, and our son Kevin came down. He lives and works in Athens, and I was telling him, you know, Pasta's Barbecue has closed. And that's where I took my wife on her first date.
Oh, man.
The Varsity has closed both restaurants in Athens. Yes. And the Grill, which is on College Street, a block north of where the downtown Varsity was, it's closed, and we don't know whether it's permanently closed or not. I mean, what's this world coming to? Those are three of my favorite places to eat.
I tell you, I ate at the Varsity one night at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you remember the famous Alabama-Georgia Monday night Labor Day game in 85? A friend of mine from the New York Times after the game said, hey, I've never been to the Varsity. I said, let's go. And I don't recommend burgers, fries, and onion rings at 3 o'clock in the morning after an Alabama game, but maybe one reason I quit eating like that. We're coming right back.